closer.
This is Radio Labyrinth, Season 6, Episode 51. We have quite a few episodes under our belt, which is kind of cool. 51 this year. Lots of guests. I hope you guys enjoyed our Dragon Con preview. There's been an update since then. I think Dustin put it in the notes and put it on screen. But I guess now you actually have to be vaccinated or have a negative COVID test, something like that, in order to do anything.
In order to get in.
To get your badge, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, to even get your badge. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. You want to attend these events, you got to have to get the vaccination. So, you know, no horse paste. Okay. That's not going to cut it. You can't go, hey, I have a tube of horse paste. And, you know, so I'm okay. No, you can't do that. You can't even use the dog dewormer, even though I hear that people are taking it all over the country for some reason.
What's it called?
I don't want to say it because if you say it,
we'll get flagged.
Might get dinged. It begins with an I and ends with an
right. Ends with an ectin.
Yeah, ectin. Tough ectin, tenectin. I don't know if you get dinged for it, but who the hell knows? You know, one thing I hate is if anybody mentions anything on social media, specifically Facebook or Instagram, there's always a little note at the bottom for more information. How could you not know anything about this? It's everywhere. You know, you go flush the toilet at the bathroom and the toilet at a restaurant, and the toilet tells you where to go to get vaccinated. We all know.
Somebody posted on Facebook that they thought vacation should be mandatory, and it instantly turned into a thing about fucking vaccinations. Right. People were freaking out.
And somebody got mad. Who did that?
It turned into a fucking vaccination thread instantly.
I tweeted the other day, go ahead, get the damn vaccine. And people were giving me shit about it. I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
it's none of your business.
It is nobody's business. Really, nobody's business. And I don't like the dunking on people who made fun of it and then ended up in the hospital. And ha ha ha, you're going to die. Stupid. Fuck you.
I hate shamers and I hate gloaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quit shaming people, quit gloating about it. Shut up.
Like, I'm not going to gloat the fact that the Yankees won both games against the Braves when they were in Atlanta. Because I'm not that excited about, you know, team sports anymore. Just don't want to see a good game.
I was so excited when I saw that video at the Lions Steelers game that was not Lions fans.
I know. Well,
if
you don't know what we're talking about, you can find it. And by the time the show comes out, you know, it'll still be out there. But with some ladies mouthing off to a dude, and the dude like goes to slap her. Now, imagine what she said to him to make him that mad. OK,
he didn't go to slap her. She grabbed him and he said, get your hands off me. Then she slapped him in the face.
That's right. She slapped him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the man, you put the man in the awkward position. Look, you drunk chicks, don't put your man in an awkward position, because there's no way this guy's going to beat up her man is going to beat this guy up. This guy's huge.
Well, and you know, he pulled his fist back and his natural instinct was to punch her because she just slapped him in the face, stupid idiot. And he held his punch, and then her stupid husband, whatever, he jumped on him and then he whipped his ass.
Well, yeah,
and then he hit her because she wouldn't stop.
You can't allow somebody to punch your wife in the face or girlfriend in the face, even if she deserves it.
I feel like he has to do this a lot.
Probably.
You can allow it.
Yeah,
she needs it. That's clear. She needs it.
Yeah, you know, come correct, lady. You can get your ass whooped.
Yeah.
But that was a fun viral video to watch. I'm also tired of seeing people get the shit beat out of them. That's something people love sharing all over social media. So I was like, hey, look at this idiot. Okay.
I don't know, but that hard lemonade video, that still cracks me up every time I see it.
Which one's that again?
the one guy that's hit with
a can.
Yeah, the guy hit with a can at the he thought he could use the N-word like anyone uses the N-word publicly, and no. No. Great meme though.
You don't need to be using it. I don't care how mad you get. First of all, there's no first of all. Just don't do it. Why? Why would you want to get beat up or lose your job or be disrespectful to people? You know, it's just stupid.
People just aren't cut out for this, Tim.
It's like that time you put on the Yankees uniform and we're carrying that broom around to show how the Yankees swept the Braves.
You mean in 1999 when we went to that Halloween party with all those Braves fans?
Yep.
Yeah, I painted pinstripes on my face and then I had this old pair of jeans. And I wrote on the jeans every single World Series the Yankees had won to that point. And then I had a tomahawk and a broom and I put the blue and white tape pinstripes around the broom. Jeff went as Jerry Garcia, but I went as a douche. People were mad. Remember that? People were mad at me at that point.
Yes, they were.
Not everyone. That's
stupid for them to be mad at you.
Well, you know, the Braves just got swept. I blame it all on John Rocker.
Now they're just used to them. I mean, they're doing good this year, though, so far, right?
Who, the Braves?
Yeah, aren't they doing good?
Yeah, the other night when the Yankees were in Atlanta to play those two games, both teams had 9-game winning streaks. And I think it's the first time that it happened in 100 and some years where two teams had a streak like that face each other. And the Yankees just, you know, won that game. And then the next night there was nothing at stake. There you go. My brain's getting fried from the COVID. So we have a lot to talk about tonight. Steph, why don't you tell everybody, what the last presents was all about.
Oh, it was my mentor, a lot of people's mentor, Lori McDormand Cronin. She is the top volunteer with the Gwinnett Jail Dogs program. She kind of runs the whole thing as the volunteer portion of it. There's also Deputy Walker. He's the one who runs it from inside the jail. You know, he's the officer that runs it inside the jail. But I knew her from volunteering at the Gwinnett Animal Shelter, and then she exclusively went over to the Jail Dogs program, and you know they're wildly successful now. And I also interviewed Shane Hawkins, who was a former inmate there and a handler, and Shane kind of turned his whole life around by doing the program while he was an inmate at Gwinnett Jail, and now he owns his own dog training business in Tennessee, and he's doing great.
Well, thank you for doing that. And everybody check it out if you haven't yet. Go to our YouTube page. It's also in our RSS feed. You can get on any of your favorite podcast apps that you use. So,
well, I hope people would check it out just because Lori, she is so interesting and she's had such a interesting life. It's a great human interest story.
And Steph does good interviews. So enjoy this.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not going to stop. Oh, yeah. Your interviews suck.
Dustin cuts it together and makes it look better for
Dustin
sure.
Dustin does make us look better. I mean, I was speaking for me, because that could be pretty gruesome.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, it is. Jeff and I were both out last week on trips. Jeff, you went to, what was your trip about?
Yeah, my grandpa had a stroke and he's in the hospital. So I went up to Nebraska to visit him. He turned 101 in the hospital.
101. So he's already 100. That's great, though. I mean, did he know you? And is he?
Yeah. I mean, he was in okay shape for having a stroke. He couldn't move his fingers the first couple of days, but by Friday, he was able to move his fingers a little bit.
Could he talk?
Yeah, he could talk fine.
That's awesome.
And he can move both his feet and everything.
Everybody went to visit him for his birthday. Yeah. How was the drive?
It was okay. Didn't have anything eventful happened. I made it in 14 hours both ways.
14 hours. I've never driven out there. I've flown to Nebraska. I've been there once.
Heck of a drive.
It is. Well, it's, you know, it's no different from where, you know, if we drove up to where we grew up, it would be the same amount of time.
True.
It actually takes a little longer to get there to Nebraska from Pennsylvania because my brother did it. He had just left on Wednesday or Tuesday he left, and I left on Wednesday.
Did you get to hang out with your brother?
No, he was gone by the time I got there. But it took them 18 hours, I think. But they have two kids, and you know, he's got a wife and two kids, so they have to stop and go to the bathroom all the time and stuff.
Well, that's pretty awesome, though, that you got to see him.
Yeah.
My wife and I went on our first vacation with Gilbert, and we took him to Savannah to pick up her mom at the airport. Actually, a friend of hers picked up Caitlin's mother, and we met in downtown Savannah.
Gil handle the drive?
He was really, really good. You know, you got to stop and feed, and you got to stop and change whenever necessary. And boy, you know it when it's time to stop and change because you can smell it. But he had a good time. We took him to restaurants. I mean, that's all we did pretty much, is go out to eat and go to the beach and go for walks. Never been to St. Simon's. It's a real nice place. I've been to Tybee a couple times, but never to St. Simon's. Then we went over to Jekyll Island and went to a beach over there. That was nice too. Lots of good places to eat, except for some reason, every restaurant we went to until the last day, you know, you get fries as a side. All the French fries are coated. You know, those weird French fries that are coated with shit. You don't know what it is, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like seasoned fries?
I guess they're kind of seasoned, but they have like a coating on them.
Yeah, it's not like batter dipped fries.
Yeah, something like that. I hate that. I don't like those. And finally, our last day there, Caitlin took our mom back to the airport. So I walked into town and stopped this little burger place called Zuzu's. And it had a really good burger. And this place is just right on the little main drag. And they had a really good burger and the hand-cut fries. So that was nice. I'm fussy about fries, little anal. There was also a place that was giving away meat or selling mead that I wanted to try it. It was a honey store. So I waited and I went in there. I didn't have a mask on because nobody there was wearing masks. I saw maybe 10% of the people were wearing masks. But I walk in and a lady comes running out from behind the counter. She's like keeping away from me like 20 feet. Is there anything I can get you? I'm like, nah, I'm just going to leave. If I'm scaring you that much, I'm just going to leave. But I don't know. It was a cool place.
You're not missing much from not trying mead, by the way.
Why is mead terrible?
It's rotten honey water.
Okay.
That's pretty much the extent of it. I've had it twice because I thought the first time was a fluke, and no, it's pretty much consistently the same stuff.
Okay. I guess I won't try mead. I don't need to try mead.
I thought only friars drank mead.
Yeah, it's become the hipster thing now. Drink mead. And mead. Cider is a big thing now, too.
Yeah, cideries. Let's go to the cidery.
I love regular cider.
I love cider as
donuts.
Well. Yeah, cider and donuts. Cinnamon donuts or...
Yeah.
I said I'm a powdered cinnamon donut guy. But I do like the cinnamon sugar ones.
Not even that. There's a place in Michigan that I love. It's called Apple Charlie's.
Mm-hmm.
And they have... You can see them frying the donuts. It's just a big vat of grease.
Yeah.
And the donuts just drop off into this big, humongous tub. And then they fry and then they flip over. So they don't have anything on them.
Okay. They're
just hot, crispy little donuts. Just a sack of greasy ass donuts. Mm-hmm. They're so fucking good.
Used to get those at the Mansfield, Pennsylvania Fair. There was a guy there made donuts, and they came out of a basket, and they're all little mini fried. And like you said, they're crispy and
hot, delicious.
Surprised I didn't get diabetes when I was a child. I really am, but you know what? That's because nothing when we were younger had high fructose corn syrup.
You can just flag by the sugar people now.
I had some good corn when I was in Nebraska.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They said it was the last of the season, too.
Uh-uh. Really?
Yeah.
So why do you have it? What's the reason for the Big Lebowski today, did you?
I just like the feeling that it represents.
Okay.
I'm looking for that feeling.
Shut the fuck up, Stephanie.
That's what I'm saying.
We're out of your element.
First off, you can talk to people like that, and they're not babies crying about it.
Right.
Two, you know, just the simplistic... The rug. He just needs the rug, the bowling. That's all he needs.
That rug tied the room together, did it not? Speaking of John Goodman, over the weekend, it seemed they were rerunning a lot of 80s, 70s, and 80s movies on different channels. So we watched a bunch of them, and one of them we watched was Revenge of the Nerds. Of course, they're edited, but still, they're fun to watch. And you come upon that scene, again, where Gilbert... Not Gilbert. I can't think of his name, so it doesn't matter. But he goes into the moon house and bangs the sorority girl, and then she falls in love with
Lewis.
Lewis, that's right. Lewis has sex with this girl against, you know, without, she thinks it's her boyfriend. And apparently he's so good at date raping that she falls in love with him. And it was a different time, very different time. But those movies, they still all hold up to me. I watched a bunch of them, and a couple of them are going to be in what I watch, so I won't spoil it or blather on too much. But one I will say, I tried to watch Days of Confusing again. I'd only seen that once. I don't really like it all that much. Am I in the severe minority?
It's not a great movie.
Yeah, it's the story's okay and the acting's good and the cast was amazing, but
yeah,
it was like a independent movie. Just
good music.
It was a Linklater movie, and those are, he has his own style, and his style is not, it's an acquired taste for a lot of people.
The thing that bugs me about it the most is just the beginning of it. It's at a high school. It's the last day of school, and the juniors, who are going to be seniors the next year, are tormenting other children, beating, the boys are beating on them with paddles, and you know, and then the women, the girls, are lining up the younger girls and, you know, calling them sluts and making them do calisthenics. Meanwhile, the teachers are just saying, "Well, it's just the way it is." I mean, you know,
that's how it was then, though.
Not for us. We didn't have that.
No, but we caught the tail end of that. Like when we went into junior high school, they called us all rabbits and we were scared we were going to get hazed.
That's true. But it didn't happen.
It didn't really happen because it was kind of like the end of the era. But right before us, people still got hazed.
Really?
Yeah.
And I think it also, that was a lot to do with that small town. I mean, different part of the country, like in that's Texas, you know, it's, but where I grew up in East Tennessee, very small town, one high school. So, you know, everybody went there. So everyone knew everyone else and all their siblings that were under them. And so, yeah, it was, those things happened, maybe not to the degree that they pushed it in the movie, but right. What's funny about that movie, and it's personal for me, is that was exactly my parents' graduation year. Okay. So that would have been them, you know, me looking back at my parents, how they were in high school was exactly that year. So I always looked at it with those, with, you know, looking at it that way.
Did you have that stuff, Steph, at your high school?
Oh, we definitely had a lot more, same experience as Dustin, tiny town, 300 kids from grades 7 to 12. There was 300 of us.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was related, or your teacher was your cousin. Cross-eyed. Yeah. I mean, it was, we called their teachers. We called several of our teachers by their first names.
Wow.
So it was like, and then our English teacher, Tommy, my Uncle Dave lived right next to the high school. My Uncle Dave is an alcoholic, good guy, but alcoholic. And he would sit in the
driveway.
He would sit in his driveway with his crew, and they would just be chucking back brews like all day, right? So Tommy, he would be drunk in class teaching us English. Huh. And then when the bell rang, he would get in his car, drive right down to the driveway to my Uncle Dave's house and take his chair and keep on drinking. And it was just like, everybody knew that. And
things were,
yeah, just, you know, small town people just do it. But as far as like somebody calling me, you know, fry little piggy on the floor, you know, bunch of freshman bitches, none of that didn't happen. No,
I didn't really encounter hazing until I joined a fraternity, and there were hazings that took place. They were very mild. I don't recall anything. My class, the class before me and the class that I was in, we did a night and hazed the kids below us. We got in trouble because of what we did, but all I did was, I don't want to talk about it. Maybe I'll tell you about it. I took an apple like a month before our night, our activity night. You know how you can take an apple and roll it so all the stuff underneath the skin gets mushy?
But the skin stays together?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did that, and I kept it in a drawer in a dresser for a month. Every day it just got worse and worse and worse. And I made them all take a bite out of that. And the first bite, of course, just exploded and went all over the face, and it was gross. Another thing we did is I had a blow-up doll that we stuffed sardines in its woo-woo, and made him eat it out. But I mean, that's all harmless stuff. One guy in my class, so he was kind of a dick. He was like making them eat peanut butter and shoving peanut butter in their face. It was kind of lame. But the weirdest stuff happened when people got pinned. And do you know what a pinning is? When a sorority, when a fraternity brother gives a sorority sister his pin, you know, that means they're going steady. Here's your pin. And I remember one guy got pinned. And when you got pinned, you got tied to a pole in front of the dorms and people poured shit on your head. So, you know, it was always like, oh, the girls would pour spaghetti or they'd put ketchup and mustard and, oh, we're going to cover you and all this. We lived in the apartment, which was more of a nihilistic type of place. You had the fraternity house. You had the floor. Jeff, you lived in the dorm where the Phi Cap floor was. I remember that. And then you had the apartment. I lived in the apartment and the apartment was the dump. It was just you walked in there. And if you could hold your breath for 20 minutes, you could get used to it. It just smelled like beer, piss, puke, you name it, cigarettes, everybody smoked. We had a bucket in the back called the funk bucket. And we also had a bar back there. So in that bucket, there was urine, vomit, fecal matter, paint for some reason. I had a friend, I'm not going to say his name because he listens to the podcast, but he poured paint in it, like wall paint, and hacking up loo. It was the most disgusting thing. It was really a funk bucket. He carried that up by hand and poured it all over this one guy. And I have pictures of it. And oh my God. And it reeked. You could smell it a half a mile away. And you know, everybody was having fun with this guy pouring like beer on him and whatever. Then we poured our funk bucket on him. And I think he threw up while he was tied to the pole and he couldn't get away. So, but at least we were adults, not children. Anyway, that's my experience with hazing. And Jeff got hazed when we joined football. I quit because I was too afraid. I didn't want to get hazed, but they were shoving pine cones up Jeff's ass or down his pants.
No, they put icy hot on your junk.
Yeah, but one guy, they were shoving pine cones in his ass. I don't remember
that.
We played pranks on each other. We definitely played pranks on each other. And I remember one time I did something to one kid and then he got me back by locking me. We had like this outdoor area that was just enclosed and had a glass wall, so it had like these stone tables, and as you were walking through the hallway you just look in there, look at atrium. It was an atrium. There's only one way in and one way out, and it was like a viewing gallery of whoever was sitting in this area. And I got thrown in there, locked in there with one of the weirdest kids in school who was 21. He was 21. Yeah. And Steph, they
married to that guy now.
Yeah.
How you doing, Pickle?
He'd say, you got a pistol. He'd ask the teacher that, you got a pistol. And he'd say, I ain't got a pistol, Bob. I got an ink piss. You want that? But anyway, so they lock us in there and then they put a sign. This is right before the bell rang for lunch. A sign in the window that said, please don't feed the bears. It was mm-hmm. me and him in there, just like milling about. Like we were, yeah, it was great. And I can't remember exactly what I did to get him back. I think it was something like, I can't talk about now. It's not, you know, PC, whatever.
Oh, what would it be? Give us a hint. You can't just, you know, not tell us.
Well, I locked him in there with another guy, the guy who did it to me. I locked him in there with another guy and I put another sign out there that was not friendly.
Oh, I understand.
Today's current.
You don't have to elaborate.
Yeah. It was 1989. You know, what do you want? 1990.
Yeah.
That is thunder. I'm sorry.
Dang. We're getting some storms here in DeKalb County.
Dustin, how was your wild ride?
Oh, yeah. 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 We forgot about that.
Oh, it was good. I was on the Wilder Ride podcast, the listener's lounge version. It was fun. We talked about the podcast. We talked about Radio Labyrinth. We talked about the YouTube page and YouTube in general. Got to talk about the crazy movies that they make Walt watch. And I think they're going to put Lavalantula on the next one. I was telling him about that, and it was funny. He had just watched Toxic Shark, and he was looking up Toxic Shark, and the same lady wrote Lavalantula that wrote Toxic Shark. So I think he's going to do that one next on the poll. So everybody needs to jump on their poll this week and pick Lavalantula for Walt to watch. It's a terrible movie. But it was really fun. Those guys are quick, very quick.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I like those guys. You guys, if you don't listen to the Wilder Ride podcast, you should check it out. When are they going to start doing another movie?
I was given no clues as to what it's going to be.
Another you. We know it's going to be another you. Isn't it?
No.
It's going to be that rhinoceros movie that Gene Wilder was in.
What was that?
It was a play where a rhinoceros like attacks a town.
Mm-hmm.
A rhinoceros is never seen on screen or in the play.
Okay.
They made a movie out of it. Gene Wilder was in it. Yeah, a very young Gene Wilder.
Well, I have to see that.
It's a weird one.
All right. So let's get started here. Actually, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and do our thing. Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's Conyers. Oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call home. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family-owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously topped pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine in and take out available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online at atlantapizzaeuro.com and find them on Facebook, where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza in Euro.
And we're back.
Thank you, Jeff. We are back. Hey, before we get going on some more stuff, has anybody yet watched Clickbait on Netflix with what's his name? Adrian Grenier. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
No, I just saw the preview for it. And I thought, oh, where'd they dig him up at?
I don't know, but I've seen weird reviews, mixed reviews. It looks interesting. I like the name. I mean, the name is good. It does the same thing as Clickbait. It makes you interested, but I saw bad reviews and I don't know if I'm going to watch it. There's so much I need to get caught up on because I'm way behind, but so no one else has watched it from the show?
No.
He's not a good actor. I mean, I watched Entourage, but it wasn't because of him.
Nah, people didn't watch it for him. People watched it for the other cast members.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, well, he was great. So was Turtle. Whatever happened to Kevin, what's his name? Kevin Connolly?
Yeah, I think he's still doing stuff.
He ended up actually being a producer and stuff, I think. Director type of guy. I don't know. But we're all watching Brand New Cherry Flavor.
I've only watched one, but you guys have watched it all, so you can feel free to talk about it as much as you
want. I haven't watched all of it. We're only 4 or 5 episodes. No, we're up to episode 6. Sorry. It's a great show. I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we finished it. It was great. Loved it. It's so weird. And just when you think it can't get any weirder,
you grow a vagina on your body
and you get fisted in your side.
Spoiler alert, side fisting. You watched it all, Dustin?
No, I've only watched the first one, but yeah, it's got a very I used to read a lot of Clive Barker books growing up, and it had a lot of like Clive Barker kink to it. And my David, he was
Cronenberg.
Same thing.
Well, it reminded me of that first season of Channel Zero, The Candle Cove. And then I saw Gus Turner put in the Radio Shack. He said, oh, anything Nick Antosca does, I'm there for. I'm totally there for. And so I looked up Nick Antosca, and he's the one who did freaking Candle Cove, the first season of Channel Zero. So you can tell that that's his creepy, weird ass style from that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely unique in that sense.
I like the cast a lot, too. You got Catherine Keener, who's great in anything she's in. She's a fantastic actress. The main character is Rosa Salazar. I've seen her in other things, but I don't really know an awful lot about it. But she plays Lisa. Then you have Eric Lang, who's Lou Burke, the film producer. The most recent thing I recall him being in was Escape at Dannemora.
And Perry Mason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's in Perry Mason. But she,
I didn't like seeing him be an asshole.
Yeah, I know, because he's not like that in a lot of his other roles. But he certainly is in this. But he's a good actor. He played the husband in Escape at Dannemora, right?
Yeah. He was a bad guy in Perry Mason, too, if you recall. He was an asshole. Yeah.
He was in Lost, too, but I don't remember who he played in that. I recognize Jeff Ward. He's the actor, Roy Hathaway. And a lot of people I don't really know. So Leland Orser, he was in it one episode. I think he's probably done. And then another guy that's hey, I know that guy, Patrick Fischler. I haven't seen him yet. So, Steph, when does he come into it?
I don't know who he plays.
Oh, God, he's been in so many things. He
played the comic in Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah.
That douchebag.
Yeah.
He always plays a jerk.
Right, and he's good at it. He's really good at it.
He's a producer.
Okay.
He was the bad guy in Happy.
Yeah, that's right. The show, I don't know what this girl, it's set in the early 90s, so there's no cell phones. It's about this girl who writes or actually makes a small film, and she sends it out, and it gets seen by a producer, and the producer invites her to Hollywood. She goes to Hollywood, and there's all sorts of weird things that happen around that. So we got to finish it first, and then we can all, I mean, if we all watch it, we can talk about it a little more in depth. I do want to mention that we finished White Lotus. Did you guys all finish it as well?
Yes.
What did you think of the ending?
I liked it.
I did too. I didn't read anything about it. I didn't read any reviews about it. I just watched it. And then after the final episode, I went and looked for reviews. Apparently it's about how white people are colonialists and horrible and they get away with everything. And I thought, oh, yeah, I guess so, because they all got away with every horrible thing that they did. And the only redeeming character, I guess, would be the son, right?
Yeah, Quinn, to me, was the, yeah, he was the only one that had any.
Uncle Rico was okay. What did he do?
I don't know. I guess he just kind of banged.
He banged Stifler's mom.
It's true. Tanya.
She, oh, God bless it. She played that role so great.
Now, spoiler alerts are coming here, so be careful. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched White Lotus, if you're not all the way through it, Alexandra Daddario's character, Rachel, in the very first episode, you think that she's dead.
And yeah, I want to go back and rewatch the first episode because...
Me too.
I remember thinking, I don't think that Alexandra Daddario is really going to be dead, but I remember thinking that it was a woman's body that they were putting on the plane.
Well, he says, that's my wife, or something like to that effect. That's my wife.
I got to go back and rewatch it because it was ambiguous
right
in the beginning, but we were kind of led to believe that it was Alexandra Daddario's character in the first episode.
I don't think they did that at all. I think it was just he was talking to that couple, and the couple said, oh, I heard there was a murder or something like that at that resort. And he was like, yeah, he never, ever says that it was his wife. He just said that he was there on his honeymoon and you never see his wife. And then the couple's like, oh, well, where's your wife? And he's like, can you guys mind your fucking business?
Yeah. All right. So yeah, they lead you to, but the director or whoever's making the showrunner,
Mike White.
Yeah. They lead you to believe that, or maybe think that it's his wife.
Right. In the coffin that you see getting loaded on the plane.
Right. But what a lot of great acting, very well done story, enough cringy moments, but not cringe in a bad way, cringe that, you know, like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And it was just a lot of fun. So if you're on the fence or you don't really know about it, it's White Lotus. It's on HBO Max. I don't even know if things are on regular HBO anymore because I don't ever go, oh, I better go to HBO. I just go to HBO Max. Molly Shannon is amazing in it. John Grease, who is Uncle Rico, he plays Greg. Let's see. Steve Zahn is great because he's at the beginning. So he's obsessed about his dick, and then he finds out his dad was gay and died of AIDS, and he always thought he died of cancer. It's just a lot of this weird stuff. But if you really look at it and watch the show, don't read anything about it until you watch it. And after, you can go look at, you know, oh, well, this is about colonialism and blah, 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 blah. And those elements are probably true and they're probably there, but they don't hit you over the head with it. And
I feel like the ultimate lesson from it is, if you're rich and you have lots of money, what are you going to do? You're going to give it away? You're going to feel bad because you have all this money and you're not going to do anything with it.
And if you're that rich, get two hotel rooms, because why are you making the kid sleep in the kitchen or out on the beach?
That was a nice ass suite they were in, though.
I know, but still, one room for that whole crowd. What did they think the kid was going to sleep?
That was terrible. One of the cast members I want to bring up, because I don't recall seeing her in other things, but I thought she was one of the best characters in the show, was Natasha Rothwell. She played Belinda. She's a masseuse and she works at the spa.
Great. She's on Insecure. She plays Kelly on Insecure.
Insecure. Okay. Well, she was great in this show and her character is very sympathetic. And you could tell that Jennifer Coolidge's character was going to fuck her over. And and she did. She really did. And it's so typical. Well,
she made it right, though, with a little envelope of cash.
Yeah, she did give her a big stack. Gave her a big
stack of cash, but it started out with, I'm going to help you and I'm going to get you set up with this stuff and I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Here's some money. So if you really break it down and look into the sociology and stuff, Dustin, you got anything you want to jump in with on this? Because we're
random. Oh, no, I was just talking about the lady you were just talking about, Natasha Rothwell. She's also the mom voice on the Baby Shark show.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, she does that. And she was a writer on SNL too for like a year.
Cool.
And I think she played an assistant on that show Crashing whenever he was on the talk show.
Mm-hmm.
She played like the sound person or something.
Jake Lacy, great. Connie Britton, great. Jake Lacy, Shane. Connie Britton was Nicole. So that show gets a big thumbs up from all
of them. The star of the show, though, wouldn't you say? It's Armand.
Oh, hell yeah.
He ran away with it. I mean, everybody was great, but I think he was definitely the standout.
And his name is Murray Bartlett, but I really liked him as well.
I was happy for Quinn. That's all I'll say. I was very happy for Quinn.
I loved him. He's like, fuck you guys, I'm not going with you.
You know, and then, you know, how obsessed he was with having his phone.
He didn't care, though, at the end.
Because that's all he knew. And then whenever he was like, I don't care if I have a phone. And then they were like, but you have to have a phone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why? I just want to row this boat. And it's cool that these guys just let him join them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And of course, Alexandra Daddario, for all you pervs out there that think she's just a piece for your eyes to look at.
She was so good in this, though. Yeah. It's the best acting I've ever seen her do.
Sympathetic character. And you think that she's going to do the right thing, but she doesn't. She does the convenient thing, which is what we all do. The convenient thing.
Yep.
I mean, most of us priests probably don't. I'm looking at people who sacrifice things. All right. So check out White Lotus, HBO Max. I think we've run the gamut of guests. So we're going to pivot next with the next Radio Labyrinth Presents. I don't know what we're going to do yet. So I was hoping we could talk about that before we get to some of our other stuff.
Well, there's your thunder stuff.
It's coming to me now.
Yeah. We do have one more set up for, you know, in the wings, but I was thinking we could probably do the Fifth Element review.
Okay. And what interview do we have in the wings?
The one that I did with Diallo Riddle.
He's
the guy in Showcase. Yeah. You guys are gonna like it a lot because he's a complete comic book nerd.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he's a fount of information.
He knows a ton of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I mean, I really think you'll enjoy it. He's a freaking Harvard grad, for God's sakes. Probably the smartest person I've ever spoke to, honestly.
So this will be out on Wednesday after this show drops. So yeah, okay. Yeah. So okay, but I'm in agreement with you. We got to do the Fifth Element. Let's all make a plan to watch it and take notes. And how do you guys want to do it? Because I watch a lot of these.
Let's try and do that watch party.
All right. Well, at any rate, we're going to figure out a way to do it. We're going to watch the Fifth Element. And we're going to talk about it, and that'll be in a couple of weeks. And of course, if we get between now and then, we get a guest. Well, we'll postpone the Fifth Element thing because we want to keep bringing you guests. And that's why I bring it up, is because if you have anybody that you know of that you think would be an interesting guest for Radio Labyrinth. That could be somebody that works in the film industry, somebody that's worked on a lot of these productions that are made here in Atlanta. If you know an actor or somebody involved in the business or anything that you think would be interesting, hit us up. We're on social media. You know where to find us, and you can put in the Radio Shack. You can email us. You can tweet it to us. Whatever you'd like to do, you know where to find us, and you can get all that information right here in the show notes, whether you're watching it on YouTube or if you're listening to it in your RSS feed. All right, guys, let's thank another one of our amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. You can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreationco. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything, jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Co. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone, though. Sometimes you need eBay to. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy. Little feedback from our, I want to do this. We talked about this privately, but a little feedback about our Dragon Con episode. Some people were very, had some opinions, and we allow and we encourage and we hope that you'll share your opinions with us. So I'm going to read them, and we're not making fun of any of the people, and I'm not going to say their names. Okay. I'm going to do some of these in character. Is that okay with you guys?
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people were pissing and moaning against each other. We'll start with the first one and just say, this is from Jim. Listening to the DC pregame episode, and I'm sorry, the convention planners are simply wimps. The way I've chosen to run the con this year is plain awful. We have all lived through this pandemic, and we know how to handle ourselves accordingly. No other large gatherings have shown to be a super spreader event, and some of those were conducted with many less restrictions and rules. Acting like watching the parade on TV is the same as being there in person is condescending and dismissive at best. I usually don't have such a visceral reaction to these things, but I'm so sick of organizers of cons, concerts, shows, festivals, etc., treating fans like we can't take responsibility and care of ourselves. Our family will miss the con this year. We can only go one day each year, and we've always purchased our passes for Saturday only because we love the parade and the con itself. It's such a fun day that they won't let us have this year. Shame, shame, shame. And now we get a response from Jim.
They're both named Jim?
Yeah, Jim's.
It's a lot of Jim's on here.
Yeah, Jim, G-Y-M-E. I hate crowds, so I'm selfishly kind of excited that there won't be 80,000 people there this year. There were only about 7,000 at the first one I attended, and this year I was able to score a hotel room for the first time in a few years, so I won't have to commute every day as we always get four-day badges. And then Jim responds, I hate to say it because I love everybody on here, but that's kind of a jerk mentality. Dragon Con is for fans, and that means anyone who wants to come, regardless of how many days they could be there or how crowded the crowd becomes. I think it's cool that so many can usually experience it. It's lame that this year you can't, and you, I'm sorry, gloat about it. I ain't gloating just because my opinion's thrown out there. I mean, if you could attend such a large crowd, I don't think you should be able to ride, ride, ride. I don't think you're a jerk, and I never called you a name. I'm sorry that you thought I did. I just said that's a jerky way to look at it. I think it's cool that some may come together and some may find out love is... Okay, so there's fighting, a lot of fighting back and forth.
But it's nice fighting.
It is nice fighting. And of course, people don't hate each other. But what it boils down to is, on one hand, you have, well, personal responsibility. You know, and a lot of people have personal responsibility and think about other people. But there are a lot of people who don't. A lot of people don't, and they don't care. I like to think people going to a con like that and people who listen to our show, they care. And, you know, they'll do the right thing. We all do the right thing. We all do what societally, which is what society wants. And, you know, you have your personal opinion. You could think, you know, screw your freedom, you know, all the posturing by actors on both sides and shunning people out, everything. What we can't allow to happen, and then we can move on from this, but what we can't allow to happen is to get at each other's throats, because that's not going to solve anything. And, you know, frankly, it plays to the benefit of people who are in power and the people who want to be in power. They want you at each other's throats. They want us fighting about stupid shit. We can't do anything about it as a people, but to not fucking hurt each other. So that's my message. And you're right, Dustin, it was a light. I mean, everybody made up. And I see the points, everybody's point. Everybody has a valid point. You know, hey, I'm responsible. My kids are responsible. We want to go watch the parade. And I do wonder how they're going to be able to police that. Are you going to have 10,000 police officers there? I mean, shit, down the street, 20 people will get murdered if that happens, because it's downtown Atlanta. I know. But anyway, am I rambling? You guys can tell me to shut up.
No,
the football people, don't they come out and watch the parade before the football game a lot of times? How they?
I don't know if they're going to have an ACC day there this year or not. Isn't that usually the Chick-fil-A game? The Chick-fil-A bowl? Not the bowl, but the Chick-fil-A game. Isn't that what usually happens? There's all sorts of things that used to happen down there all in one weekend. You had the Decatur Book Festival, and you had Dragon Con and the Chick-fil-A game and the Black Gay Pride, all that stuff going on at one time downtown. So I don't know, but just, you know, be smart. You know, if somebody tells you to put your mask on, because you want to stay, right? You want to go meet the celebrity you came down there to see. You want to watch the parade. I don't know that I want to be down there when it's 95 degrees wearing a mask all day, but, you know, I'll do what I have to do.
Outside you don't have to, but inside you have to.
Well, it depends. I think there's anyway, it doesn't matter. Just do the right thing. And, you know, please jump in and tell me if you think I'm wrong. We could fight about it.
The only thing I'll say about the, you know, as far as like the danger aspect of it is, I went down to Atlanta weekend before last with my niece and her fiance. And this, I'm telling you, the news had really gotten in my head. You guys know I've been saying it on the show, like, the crime. And I really was a little bit nervous about taking them down there. And I go all the time. I used to. And it was fine. It was exactly the way it always has been. We went from Atlantic Station all the way to Little Five. Never once did I feel like
depends on what time of day you go and where you go.
Yeah. I mean, these are places that I would normally go. And it was on a Sunday.
Right. I know.
And it was during the day. I mean, no, I'm not going to Buckhead clubbing at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, good chance I might get shot or, I don't know, followed home and murdered. Who knows? Right. But you can still go to Atlanta and hang out. I mean, they really try to make you think that as soon as you cross the city limits, you're going to get your brains blown out.
Again, that's people who are in power or aren't in power. They're using it as a cudgel to make people, you know, act a certain way or to think a certain way. And you just have to, you know, you have to think for yourself, I guess. I get caught up in it, but not so much now, but certainly almost all of last year, especially when the pandemic started, you know, caught in this vortex of disliking somebody because of the way they thought without even putting any effort into thinking about it. So now you take a little bit of extra effort and look at things. And also me just realizing nobody cares what I think about this. Nobody cares. Why would anybody give a shit? Why am I putting it out there what I think about something that's going to cause a fight? I mean, I'll talk about movies and stuff and say that movie sucked or I didn't like this or anything, but I really have tried to dial back any negativity on social media. Facebook, I've been that way for a very long time. Twitter, it's been a difficult challenge, but I think I've been doing okay. So
people are just upset about a lot of stuff in general these days. That's why I take 6 to 8 stress gummies a day.
That's too many.
If you do that, it's not. It's not. It says on the bottle, take 2 as needed, and I need 2 like every 2 hours.
No. Your liver's going to turn into a horse hoof.
I don't give a shit. I do not care. What kind of
gummies? CBD gummies?
Oh, no, they're just, you know, they're called stress gummies. I don't know what's in them, Tim. They make me feel better. I don't care. I just take them. Just make go away. It's just like the vaccine. I took it. I don't know what it's going to do to me, but I just took it. I think maybe more people just need to quit worrying about dying all the time. Who gives a shit? Nobody cares about you. You can fucking die tomorrow.
What else do we have to worry about?
Worrying about it so much.
They tell us on the news, if you go cool. Don't watch the news. Only do as much social media as you can handle. It's like a drug. Only do it. Know your dealer, as they said on Mr. Show. All right. Couple things in the news. I saw that they're shooting, they're going to go ahead and shoot Beverly Hills Cop 4 for Netflix with Eddie Murphy. I challenge anyone, Jeff probably be the only one, maybe, I don't know. What is the plot of Beverly Hills Cop 3 and who starred in it other than Eddie Murphy?
That's not the one with Brigitte Nielsen, right?
No.
No, I don't remember.
Nobody knows? Isn't Hector Elizondo, isn't he the cop?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brigitte's in the second one.
Right, which I don't really know much about other than there's oil. And Bogomil's jogging and he gets
Dude gets killed. Yeah.
Bogomil got killed?
The chief dude from...
I thought he just got shot.
I thought he got killed. Yeah, he died, right? Yeah, because the daughter's like, kill my man.
Maybe so.
Yeah, and that's why he comes out there to figure out who killed her dad.
That's right. They come out there. I guess Ronnie didn't want to be in it. Okay, but again, not that good of a movie. Beverly Hills Cop. Great fucking comedy. Very funny movie.
Great.
Excellent film. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to make sure, just like he did with Coming to America 2, that that this will be good. So I love Beverly Hills Cop. I love Eddie Murphy. And I want everything he does to be good, even if it sucks. Sometimes I'll watch it. But I'm confident that he'll do a good movie. OnlyFans, in the time it took us to be away for a week or whatever, OnlyFans decided to stop producing pornography on their platform. That was created for pornography so they could get money from banks or be able to transact using banks. So they decided, well, we're not going to do it anymore. There was a huge uproar from their content creators. And now they've decided to not do that. So I've figured out what happened. I guess they found a way to tell these banks to go fuck themselves. Because I thought about this when they made the first announcement that they weren't going to allow it anymore. What OnlyFans represents, especially to that younger generation of content creators, is that it's empowering them. And I'm an empowered young woman, and this is how I empower myself. So they make a lot of money by, you know, showing their boobs or whatever. But it took that kind of content, took the creative aspect away from studios and took the money away from studios, took it away from thieves. Like on all the tube sites where I don't even know why companies exist that make it, because they don't make any money off it, as far as I know, unless it's from ad revenue. But this is something that where people own their own content and they make their own money. So, I mean, I don't subscribe to it. I don't
anymore.
I really don't. I mean, it came so late that it's not something that I would have, you know, any interest in. You know, I wanted to see Bad Baby just because, you know, all she did was have a bikini on. She made $1 million, what, in an hour or in a day, she made $1 million. That's interesting to me why a celebrity would do it. But other than that, you can't just let people make all this money and have it become a source of revenue and then go, oh, well, we want to work with Visa now. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it was just a publicity grab.
You think so? You think
I think it was
publicity? Okay.
Yeah, because
most things are, but.
They wanted to create an app because they're only available on a web browser at this point.
Right.
So they were going to create an app, and they said that was their hurdle, was the payment for the app wouldn't be processed.
Apple won't let them in. Yeah, Apple
right.
Certainly.
But I think the whole thing was just a promotion for that, because originally when they said that they were taking the sex stuff off, it was only going to be on the app that they were taking it off, not on the website. Okay. And then they, you know, and it kept changing. And that's why I think I think this was their intention the whole time, is a way to promote the app that's coming out.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Makes sense. Everything now is marketing, even hate. What do they call it? Those takedown videos. That's all it's all free marketing. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. Who died? A couple of people have died since we've done a show. Tom T. Hall. You guys remember Tom T. Hall, the country singer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love little baby ducks and trucks. And who else died? I know the main one. One of the Everly brothers, the one that was living, he's dead. So they're back together again in heaven jamming. Wake up, little Susie. And just this week, Charlie Watts, 80 years old, the drummer for the Rolling Stones, passes away, and they're still going to continue their tour. So kudos to them. What, you know, what would happen if they stopped doing their tour? They would just die, right? The Rolling Stones, they'll start gathering money.
Keith wouldn't die.
No, I'm not going to die. Yeah, that sucks, because Charlie Watts was just one of those drummers that, you know, he wasn't flamboyant. He wasn't, you know, some loser. He wasn't shooting up heroin and, you know, banging Pamela Anderson. He was just a drummer that he loved his family and his wife and his kids. And he's just a member of the Rolling Stones, right? So rest in peace. Let's take a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what we watched. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about, and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
We're back.
That's the one thing that stayed consistent since we started this show. Didn't you do that on our very first episode?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. We got a lot of them, by the way. We started this show 6 years ago. Oh, yeah, no kidding, right? You guys, I didn't watch very much, so I'll go first and get it out of the way. We already talked about Brand New Cherry Flavor, which is the show. My wife and I both love it. I watched some old school movies, a couple, you know, when I was going to bed at night in Tybee, watched Jaws again. And that line popped up that Jeff used to say all the time that made me laugh, and I would always forget what it was from. But it popped up in the movie, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And
what line is it?
Yeah, Jeff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I want those paint happy bastards strung up by their
Buster Browns.
Yeah. I want those paint happy bastards strung up. I watched with Gil, was actually awake with me the other night through most of this, watched Back to School again on TV. So you don't really get as much, but you know, not that much is edited, but Back to School to me holds up and is funny as fuck. And I remember being younger, we saw it in the theater when it came out, and thinking Sally Kellerman is pretty for an old lady. And now I'm watching it going, I'm older than she was when that was made. and then thinking back in the 80s that the girl that everybody was in love with, I can't remember her name right off, you know, his kid is in love with her and she's dating, you know, Chaz.
Mm-hmm.
What's his? Well, Bill Zabka. She's really not. No. But there's so many fun, memorable lines. Them Kurt Vonnegut's in it, and it's just fun to watch those. I also watched Tombstone, which is another good movie, a lot of good lines, but actually not as good as I remember it because of the weird cuts and things. Again, I'm gonna have to watch it unedited, but you know, that just made me think of that Val Kilmer documentary and made me sad, but at least they found a way for him to speak now. He's going to use a computer that'll make it sound like his old voice.
Are you going to name your mustache Tombstone?
No. Why would I name it Tombstone? What's wrong with my mustache? I like it. I'm your Huckleberry. My Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Me and Tombstone are going over to Donut Dolly's. We'll be back in a jiff.
Yeah, we're going to Donut Dolly's. I just, that movie is so great. He is, Val Kilmer to me is the best part of that movie.
You better, many of you go skin that smoke wagon.
Yeah, you skin that smoke. I mean, okay, there's a lot of overacting from Kurt Russell in that movie. Everybody's, oh, yes. But he's just, but no, my favorite line is, you know, Johnny Ringo's got a bullet in his head and Val Kilmer's, you're no Daisy at all. But I love it. And, you know, everybody hates Johnny Ringo. Oh, I feel sympathetic to him. Oh, and of course, the best line, one of the best lines in that movie is, well, bye.
That is the best line.
Yeah, Powers Booth. Anyway, so that's it. My staff pick is Sturgill Simpson, just dropped out of nowhere, The Ballad of Dude in Juanita. It's not even a half hour long. There's 10 songs on it. It's a concept album. His grandparents' names are, or were, I don't know, dude and Juanita. It's not about them, but it's about a guy who's half breed. He's half Native American, half white. I don't know, whatever the fuck. I got to say it right. I don't want to get in trouble. But there's, it's a pretty cool concept record. It's not necessarily bluegrass, but it's the stuff that influenced bluegrass, and it's fun. Has anyone else listened to it?
No, I didn't even know it was out.
I did look up on him, on Sturgill. And did you know that him and his wife got together a few years ago before his career took off, and they planned 9 albums, 9 or 10 albums, and what they would be concept wise.
I think,
and that's and that's what he's doing. He's just sticking to that same plan. That's amazing. I mean, from a musical standpoint, that's just so backwards from how bands, you know, finish a tour, then regroup and write an album, and then record an album, and then just, you know, he planned his entire career pretty much before he even started, which is amazing.
Really, I didn't know that. Send me that article. I'd like to read it. Metamodern Sounds and Country Music is, I think, one of my favorite albums of the last decade, and it's getting up. It's almost 10 years old now, 7 years old. That album is, but it's such a great record. Sound and Fury is great. It's more rock and roll. And they had the great concept, you know, in the video portion and everything, but really the Meta Modern Sounds and Sea Stories are great. So, but anyway, it's the Ballad of Dude, D-O-O-D, and Juanita.
Well, mine's very quick because I just haven't been watching much, but I did watch all of Ted Lasso, finished it, and started the second season. I see myself watching that whole series a couple more times. Just if I need a pick me up, that's where I'm going to go. And I watched The Empty Man, new horror movie on, I think it was HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think it's going to be the same concept as, you know, the Candyman style, where, you know, teenagers do X, Y, Z, and then, you know, a creature comes after them in some fashion. And that's kind of the loose base of it. But the horror part of it is more cosmic horror, kind of H.P. Lovecraftian kind of stuff. And it's neat. It's long. It's too long. It's probably about 25 minutes too long. But it's good if you like that kind of, you know, The Color of Space or kind of Mandy kind of looking. The Empty Man on HBO Max, and that'll also be my staff pick.
Okay, well, I watched both of those new Untolds on Netflix. You know, they're doing that Untold series.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Malice at the Palace, and it was about that whole Ron Artest incident at the Palace of Auburn Hills when he got hit with that cup of water. They charged into the stands and they fought the fans and all that shit. That was pretty cool. I have to say, you have to watch that one. A lot more to it than even I realized. And Ron Artest really isn't as horrible as a guy as I thought he was. He really did admit that he was pretty terrible and selfish and a coward. And but the other one, though, The Deal with the Devil, the Christy Martin story, this badass bitch. I've been trying to get her on Instagram so bad to come on here. But if you recall, about 10 years ago, her husband/trainer, who she was trying to leave, shot her.
Oh.
I mean, he beat the shit out of her and he shot her. Basically, he thought she was dead, but she willed herself, got up and ran out into the road, and somebody got her to the hospital and she made it. But he's in jail forever, and his interviews are all from jail, and he's such a narcissist asshole.
Still?
Yes, but she's so cool, and they show clips of her from the trial when she's talking to him on the stand. And she's addressing him like right to his face. And she was like, "You thought you killed me, but motherfucker, you can't keep me down."
I mean, she's a boxer.
Yeah. She's from West Virginia. Dad's a coal miner.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a badass. They show so many clips of her from over the years, whenever she was coming up and all that, you know, and she was a lesbian the whole time, even though she tried to suppress it. And now she is out and she's with her wife and they're doing great together or whatever. But so I highly, man, watch Deal with the Devil. It's great.
She's happy. She's happy.
Yeah. She's happy and she's great. And she's got a promotional company now. She promotes boxing matches and all that stuff. But That was really good. Watch that new Netflix show, The Chair, with Sandra Oh. It's kind of, it's okay. I mean, there's parts of it that are good, but I really hate all of the students. And I really do feel like they're trying to give you a true picture of what kids their age are like in college now. And I hate them. They suck. They can take, they have no fucking sense of humor. Everything is about looking for something that you're doing that's terrible.
Right.
It's, there's such cancel culture, the entire, anyway.
Well, they're all taught to be tattletales.
That's why yes,
you just want to fucking strangle them. Like, did your mom ever have any kids that lived? I mean, that's who these kids are.
Yeah.
But anyway, and it's like all the professors, they're our age. You know, our age, who we were like the last cool, or we thought we were cool. We were open-minded. We were pretty progressive. Well, apparently not.
Who taught these kids to not be?
I don't know. I guess the internet. I don't know.
That's why comedians aren't wanting to go to colleges anymore and play colleges.
Right.
They suck.
Kids are so woke.
Oh, it's awful. It's really bad. They have no fucking sense of humor. It's ridiculous. DC Titans, so freaking good. I love DC Titans on HBO Max. I mean, here's this bone-crushing, bloody, gory-ass superhero. I didn't know Robin was this cool, and he's becoming Darkwing or whatever. And they have so many different characters on here that I hadn't really seen yet, but I highly recommend DC Titans. If you haven't checked it out on HBO Max, they're on season 3 now. We're still watching season 1.
It's okay.
Very good. And 9 Perfect Strangers, that new show on Hulu with Nicole Kidman and Melissa McCarthy, Bobby Cannavale, and Manboy from Snowfall. It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's weird, and it's, you know, funny, and it's odd, and I would put it up there with White Lotus in that it's right. Got that same feel to it.
All right.
And my stat pick is Only Murders in the Building on Tuesday, August 31st, and I'm hoping it's going to be good, and Selena Gomez is not going to ruin this shit. It's the show with Martin Short and Steve Martin.
It looks interesting, so hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that one. I watched the first 3 Reservation Dogs. Very good. I'm into that show.
Yeah, it's great.
Love it.
Yeah, I think one more that I got to watch that I haven't got to yet. I watched the season finale of Alone, where the guy that shot the deer won.
Yeah.
Because he had the most food.
I figured he'd win.
Yeah. I wanted the other guy to win, Biko.
Yeah, I liked Biko toward the end. I didn't like him at the beginning, but I really, he grew on me as a person on the show. Yeah, of course, we all wanted Rose to win.
Yeah. But I liked Biko the whole way through. And at the end, they really make you feel sympathetic toward Biko. So I was thinking he was going to win the whole time. And then when he didn't, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
But it was good. Sad that season's over. I'm still watching that UFO show on Showtime. It's pretty good. It's not there's no super revelations about any of the UFOs or anything yet, but I didn't expect there would be.
Cool footage though.
Yeah.
Is that also on any of their streaming? Is it on Paramount Network?
I don't know. You'd have to look around for that one. I watched all of Small Town News, that show about the Pahrump news station, the tiny little TV station that's run by like 6 people. On Prump, it was on HBO. It was pretty good. They're just interesting characters. Today I watched the new, it just came out today, the Disney Gallery Star Wars The Mandalorian, the making of the season finale of season 2. Mm-hmm. And Dustin, you'd probably be super into it because there's a ton of talk about deep fakes and how they de-aged Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
For his bit at the end. You'd probably be super into that part.
I'll check it out.
It was good. Let's see. Oh, I started watching the show called Gossip on Showtime about the New York City gossip columnists, like Cindy Adams and
Six.
Yeah, and it's like about when Rupert Murdoch took over the newspapers. That just started. So episode one was just on last week. It was good.
All right.
I think that's all the stuff I did watch. Brand New Cherry Flavor, just one of them though. I gotta get caught up on that. And my stat pick is The Other Two. That's that show that Steph and I liked about the brother and sister, that their younger brother is like super famous.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly Shannon plays their mom. That's coming back this week on Comedy Central.
I saw a trailer, a preview for that. That looks really good.
It's so funny.
And, oh, no, it's, not, the on, whole first it's not on Comedy Central. It's coming back on HBO Max. So
okay.
It's really good.
Is the first season available anywhere?
Because I'm sure it'll probably be on HBO Max now.
Caitlin would like it too.
That's where I watched it, was HBO Max, the first season.
Speaking of things, I have rewatched I Think You Should Leave seasons one and two at least four times now.
Same. Maybe more. Maybe six or seven. I don't know. Anytime I just want to laugh real quick.
You think we'll get more?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Right. Seriously.
I could watch the Haunted Tour episode or bit like over and over and over again. That's my favorite one.
The receipt with the mud pie with Stephen Wynn. That one's fucking great. I wish we could get him on the show. I know he'd be great. He'd probably love all the accolades we give him, or maybe not. I don't know. Make some people uncomfortable, but it is.
I like the I didn't do shit. I didn't do fucking shit.
You got to give. Calico cutpaints.com. What a great show. God.
You can slap at this price point. He can hit
wild stuff. Why would he want a George Kennedy look? I mean, you got to watch the show. If you guys haven't seen it, watch it. And because of you guys, I mean, I didn't watch it when you mentioned it earlier when it was on, but Detroiters was such a great show too. So
you watch all of it?
Yeah. Well, no. I have two episodes left of the season, but what a great show.
Can you believe they canceled it?
No, I can't. I cannot.
So fucking stupid. Comedy Central.
If it was today, it would just jump over to HBO Max or something. Mm-hmm. If they canceled it, that's what's sad about it.
Yeah, it was right on that line of missing it when they switched stuff over. Yeah.
Oh my God, the commercials, Tim. I'm going to send you all of the original commercials that they are parodying. The Farmer Jack one.
Oh God.
The fucking Farmer Jack one. But the Dietrich Furs. That one kills me.
I love all those, and I love that Kevin Nash was on it. You know, that was
cool
too. That was a surprise to me, because again, it's to me, I prefer just to watch something and get surprised than to read all about it beforehand and then go, oh, I don't want to watch this. All right. We have one more little bit of business here, or a little bit of content that we'd like to take care of. So Jeff, why don't you go ahead and do it?
Oh, you want to do views or snooze?
Yeah, we need a theme for this. We need somebody. If you're out there and you're creative and you want a free t-shirt or something, do something interesting and creative for views or snooze.
Couple things debuting this week. New season of American Horror Story called Double Feature on FX. You're gonna jump in, you're gonna views, you're gonna snooze.
That's a views for me.
It's got the usual cast of characters, Ryan Murphy's troop of actors.
It's very Stephen Kingish looking, where he's writing a novel in some cabin and then everything starts going crazy. So I'll watch it for sure.
That's a views from me too.
Yeah, I'll views it for sure.
I don't know. I've views them, and then like halfway through, I get bored.
Yeah, it really depends. That's why I like the American Horror Stories on Hulu.
I started watching that based on your recommendation, and like I was into it for like the first 5 minutes, but then they pulled up to that house, and I'm like, that's it. Fuck this.
It's only the first two episodes, and the other ones are completely different.
You know the house I'm talking about, though.
The murder house.
I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the views from all of us on that one, at least for the first part of the season for me. Number two. Just came out today on Netflix. Bob Ross. Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed on Netflix. This is a documentary about what happened to the Bob Ross empire, basically after he died. Tons of interviews with his son, if you remember his son, Steve, from the Joy of Painting, when they would have his son on.
I'm going to say snooze, because I don't want my memories of Bob Ross to be corrupted with any sort of malfeasance.
It's not. I'll tell you, I've used it already. So it doesn't throw Bob Ross under the bus at all. It's these people that run the company now that he died. And it turns out Bob Ross, I don't want to do a spoiler alert.
Hey, don't spoil it because I'm going
to
view it.
Bob wanted his son to take over, and it just kind of didn't ever happen.
Oh. Did his son have a perm?
No, his son's got real long hair, though, and a big gray beard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I like Bob Ross to live in this reality where he's just on a screen painting shit. Nothing else happens. There's no money to be made. It's just happening all the time.
Yeah, you can still watch all 30 seasons of Joy of Painting streaming.
30 seasons.
Or you could go to a hotel room and look at the art on the wall and go, hey, Bob Ross.
I know how they did that.
Yeah. I gave it a views already because I just wanted to see his son, what he's up to.
I always liked that show. It was very, it was quiet and, gosh, you just talk like this.
Yeah, and there's a little talk about how that came to be because that was a reaction to that German guy that did the painting show before Bob Ross. You remember
right.
that guy?
I do.
He would just like scream at the
and now so, it's a whole thing with Gen Z, the whole AMSMR or whatever shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was kind of his reaction to that. He was like, this guy does this, so I'm gonna do the opposite of that.
I'll give it a views.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a views. So that's three views, one snooze. And the last one, season 4 of AP Bio comes back this week on Peacock.
Views. So,
views from me. I've enjoyed all three seasons so far.
Snooze. I liked the first season and then that was it.
You didn't like it after that? Mm-hmm. I thought it's still just as funny.
It's going to be a snooze for me, but only because I haven't watched any of them. So maybe I should check it out.
Yeah, you should. It's funny.
Oh, Patton Oswalt's in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the principal. And his assistant there, I forget what her name is, but she's former Saturday Night Live writer and stuff.
She is funny.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
What is that lady's name? She's very funny. I know who you're talking about. I met her one time. She was at the punchline.
She's on Girl 5 Ever, too, which I haven't watched yet.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. That's Views or
Snooze.
Views or Snooze. And before we say goodbye for the week, Steph, please tell us what's going on with Barkville.org.
Oh, please come out and see me Sunday, September 5th at Caffeine and Octane. We'll be out there again with the dogs. I actually have a new foster dog that I picked up yesterday. And he's actually in the other room right now. I'm going to have to go take him out here in a minute. But I named him Barry.
Barry?
After our favorite show, Barry. Yes. And he looks very much like a Barry. So I'll be bringing him to that, hopefully. And then I want to thank Matt Carter because he already donated for Strut Your Mutt. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to get as much as I can before October. So I'll post the link if you guys can throw me a few bucks, make me look, like I'm worth a damn. I'd really appreciate it. But anyway, if you can donate, if you can foster, if you want to adopt, if you want to volunteer, please go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Woof. Thank you very much. Don't be like Australia. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. Anyway, thank you guys very much. It was a fun show. And until next time, please remember to
keep
it padded.
All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up, and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
It pays to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016. And Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll. And then he gave it to me. And I think, and I can't wait to scare my child one. okay. Our, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at. There was a guy, Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ, Spit of the Hits, for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.